Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. This is Pardes from Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, Pardes alum. This week, a more. This week, Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells discusses a more. Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells.
Thank you, Larry. Today we'll be looking at a teaching from Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, who made Aliyah to Israel as part of a pre-Zionist Hasidic Aliyah and wrote a work called Pri Haaretz, Fruit of the Land, which is his teachings from Eretz Israel, which he sent back to his Hasidim in Eastern Europe. And so it's very appropriate, I think, for the Pardes podcast. He starts his teaching on Parshat Emor, our Parsha, by quoting the opening line of the Parsha, which goes, Emor la Kohanim v'gomer, amarta leim l'nefesh lo yitama b'amav. Say to the Kohanim, to the priests, the sons of Aaron, he says to them, what do you say? You shouldn't make yourself impure for any dead person. That is, the Kohanim are not supposed to go near dead bodies. Still today, Kohanim are not supposed to go near dead bodies. And we'll see, and this is of course one of the questions, is always standing there in a Hasidic drash. Okay, we've got this verse, we know the pshat, but what is it really trying to tell us? And that'll be discovered and sort of laid out in a moment. And he continues, skipping a bit. Hinei hu al derech amar azal b'avot. We should understand it in terms of this teaching from the sages in Avot. Have rat le mitzvah kala kibichamura, she mitzvah govet mitzvah. Like the teaching of Avot, which says one should run for a light mitzvah, just as for a serious mitzvah. For one mitzvah pulls another in its wake. V'hu al derech ha-pazuk, and this is understood through the verse, derech mitzvah techa arutz ki tachi libi. I will run through the paths of your mitzvot, because it widens my heart, because it will widen my heart, as it says in Psalms. So now we have these two verses and this teaching of the sages, and we're going to sort of ask what might be the connection between all of those, and we'll have to follow along as we get to the connection. When a person does a mitzvah for the sake of heaven, which is lishma, for its own sake, because God says, and we do God's will, Morer kol ha'olamot min ha'shvelim v'ha'tachtonim ha'morkabim shev'asiyah. Then all the worlds are aroused, from the very lowest to the very lowest and most complex level of asiya, which is the lowest Kabbalistic world. V'chol asiya yitzirah b'riyah v'atzilut. And the next Kabbalistic world's asiya, doing yitzirah, formation, b'riyah, creation, atzilut, emanation. V'lamot ein mispar ad ha'ratzon ha'yon, and infinite worlds until the upper world. So, when one does a mitzvah lishma for its own sake, and we're going to get into what that means, this has some sort of cosmic effect on the world, transforms the world in some way. V'hinei v'asoto achat mikol mitzvot Hashem, b'chol kocho umidotav. And when one does one of the mitzvot of God, with all one's power and with all of one's qualities and dispositions, then what actually happens, it's actually the arousal of the joy of the mitzvah, the joy of doing that which is right, that which is aligned, that which is true, arouses all the worlds through the person's own joy, the joy of the person, of the practitioner. That is, how does this arousal work? It actually works through our own joy, our delight, our bliss even, in acting in the world in a way which is healing and which is transformative, in aligning our own will with the divine will. There is a experience of joy that's claimed here. And I encourage you to check that out in your own experience. When you've done things that felt true, that felt right, even maybe perhaps when they were challenging, are those not some of the times when we felt really this joy, this openness, this tachiv libi, right? That it widens my heart. The heart widening of joy, the openness of joy. And it adds power to the upper retinue, the sort of upper family, kaviyachol, as it were. Valiot kol ha'olamot el ratzon ha'ayon hu atzmo b'tocham. And it raises all the world up into the upper will, the upper world. He himself is within them. From there, the divine flow comes from the very top, back down from world to world, until the bottommost portion. That is, in classic Kabbalistic fashions, when we ascend, when we arouse, when we are filled with joy, the impact is not just on ourselves. What it does is it creates some kind of chain of causation so that divine flow falls into the world. Or just in a more mundane way, our own acting in a way which is true and right and clear, our own joy in our presence, our joy in connection, our joy in virtue, our joy in clarity, doesn't just stay with us. Rather, it moves forward and connects with all the world. And this is what it means, they say in Masechet Brachot, when it says, one should not stand and pray, etc., except for from the joy of a mitzvah. Because the highest quality of all is the quality of joy. Again, we're going to have to wait to see, well, what does that mean? And if it is a joy in a mitzvah, then it is the most supernal unity, that it is it's the sort of the peak of the spiritual path. This joy, which is the top human quality, and we'll see a little bit, perhaps it's the top human quality because it is the quality which most opens the heart, which widens the heart, which allows us to actually act with love and compassion, which allows us to not get lost in those parts of ourselves which we get lost in. You might, again, investigate this yourself. Think about the times when you've gotten lost in qualities which have been less helpful to you and others, in resentment, in anger, in jealousy, in fear, in anxiety, in depression, right? If you think of all those qualities, places we can get lost, and you think about the quality of joy and the experience of joy, it's hard to hold those two qualities together. When you are really in joy, it's hard to be lost in resentment. It's hard to be lost in jealousy. It's certainly hard to be lost in anxiety or in depression. There's something about joy which, in some ways, the claim you're here is the sort of a foundation or key which unlocks the path to all the other positive qualities that we might experience, and somehow is a kind of protection that stops us from getting lost, from getting caught in those smaller qualities, those tight qualities that we too often get lost in. And it's known, as we know from a text in Zohar Chadash, that prayer is called the soul of David, the soul of God, which is the Shechina. That is, when we say prayer, when we stand up to pray, there's something about standing up in the presence, the face of the Shechina. We are somehow entering the divine presence. And there in particular, there's this focus on this joy of being in the divine presence. Okay. So then he continues. V'hini yadu amam ramzal, and it's known from the teaching of the sages, Shechina betachtonim tzor kavoa. The Shechina is below, that is, the Shechina is here with us. The Divine Presence is here with us. Why? Because it is an upper need. That means, in Kabbalistic language, that the Shechina is present in our world for the purpose of healing the Divine. That is, it's not here just for us, but the brokenness of the Divine is healed through the exile of the Divine. The estrangement of the Divine is healed through the presence of the Divine in our world and through our interaction with that presence. That is the very task of a Kabbalistic practitioner, the task of tikkun, of tikkun olam. Ki yadua hayot malchuto b'chol mashala, apila b'chitzoniyut ha'olamot. That is, and that's why, as it's known, God's sovereignty, which is machut, which is shechina, that is God's presence, is present in all parts of God's kingdom, that is, even in what are the externalities of the world. That is, even the places which seem most farthest from God, places of jealousy, anger, hatred, estrangement, even violence, even there the Divine is present. Even there, we need to connect the Divine to return those lost, exiled pieces, those pieces which are being misused of the Divine Presence, back to divinity. So therefore, if a person requests or prays about something which he lacks, right, which is, of course, what we do to a great extent in the Amidah, Lo tia kavanato ela al chesron shebishchina. His intention should not really be just for the thing he lacks, but rather his intention should be for the lack in the Shechina. Because it is not fitting that anything should be lacking from the royal house. And this kind of tefillah is a true mitzvah, as well as praise for the Shechina. And through this, in this way, every chassid should pray. But this is not the case if he's just praying for his own desire and his own lacks. Then it doesn't ascend. But then it just descends. Then it just descends down because it is the klipot, these shells, the classic sort of Kabbalistic language for evil and estrangement. And it is called, and she calls out, or he, the leper actually here, calls out impure, impure, in a quote from Leviticus, earlier in Leviticus. So, in a classic claim in early Chassidut, there's a classic question, which is, if we're trying to let go of the ego, if we're trying to open up to the world, if we're trying to open up to love and compassion, how can it be that in our prayer life, we spend most of the time in the Abhidhar asking for things, requesting for things? And one classic answer is that we're not requesting things just for ourselves. We are requesting things for the Shechina. That is, we are acknowledging that when I experience some kind of lack, it's not just a lack in me, and that whatever I'm lacking in me is part of a much broader and deeper lack in the world. And I am praying not just for myself, but to heal this suffering in all the world in a very sort of mundane way. Whatever difficulty you might be experiencing in your life, any difficulty, any emotion, physical difficulties, health difficulties, whatever is happening in your life, there's no doubt that at the very least another million people have experienced that difficulty. Right? A million people at least have experienced that difficulty. That's a very small percentage of humans on this world, right? And so there's a sense of acknowledging whenever we notice that we are lacking something, whenever we have a need, that this need is not just ours. It's really a beautiful practice because it takes our need and our want and our desire, and it uses them as a way to transform them to an act of compassion, an act of love. And yet it does it in a way which doesn't deny our own need. It doesn't say, and you should pray for the need of Shechina and not acknowledge your need at all. Rather, it says, when you notice this lack in yourself, you want to pray for this lack in everybody. That includes yourself. And indeed, in other texts, it talks about how, and sometimes in that way, and that for that reason, that lack is fulfilled. So it includes yourself. But it is not only about yourself. We use this prayer, we use our opportunity of seeing where we are in pain, where we are lacking, where we need things in our life, to notice that it's not just true of us, but it's true of the world, and therefore it's true of the divine. And so already here we start to get a sense of what it means to do a mitzvah lishma, right? What is prayer for its own sake? Prayer for its own sake is not just about us, but it is about doing prayer really here for the sake, which is the Kabbalistic meaning of healing, of tikkun. We do this prayer because we want to fulfill this lack, this hole, this need in all beings which are experiencing this, in all creatures which are experiencing this lack. Then he continues, Klala de Milta, Shodama sa mitzvah, Pat, Umekadesh atzma lamata lishma, Mura kol alamot ad lamala, Umekachina to lamala, Derech ishtas shalut kol alamot, Asher ir besimchato, Poradat hashefa ad atzma. That is, the general principle, as I'm explaining what we've already said, in a certain way, when a person does a mitzvah, one mitzvah, and sanctifies himself below for its own sake, that is, for the sake here, as we've seen, for healing, for transformation, for healing the divine, which needs our healing, which is really healing the world, which is healing ourselves. All the worlds are aroused or awakened to the very highest reaches, and they in turn sanctify him, the person praying, from above, through the process of enchainment, of emanation, through all the worlds, which he aroused with his joy. And the Shefa, the divine flow, descends all the way to himself. And this is the meaning of the verse that we quoted at the beginning. I will run through the path of your mitzvot.
באותו הדרך של השמחה ושל המצווה אשר עשה כבר,
that he'll run through this path of the joy in the mitzvah, which he's already made. He's already made this path, right? Through his practice. Minativ naseh derech kvusha lerutz ki ein sham shum makev muneh. He will run through this path. That is, once he's carved out this channel of ascent, the descent happens the same way, because he's created an opening where this connection can happen. Ki ba'asoto l'shma shemar v'naseh ratzono shuvah ratzon v'shami pedu kol pedavim. Because in doing it for its own sake, which is saying, I will do it for God's will, I'm doing it to fulfill the divine will, I'm doing it for the sake of healing, for transformation, which is the will, then all workers of iniquity are scattered. Shema klipot, which are, again, these klipot, these shells. That is, in a classic early Hasidic phrase, what it means for all the workers of iniquity to be scattered is not that, you know, certain evildoers run away, but that there's some kind of profound healing, both internally and psychologically and externally, where the evil, the desire to evil, the conflict and pain within ourselves and in the world starts to dissipate. Because we have been present with him, because we have tried to heal it. That is, our practice creates a kind of opening, a kind of ease of transformation, a path through which we can travel to create and bring this healing into our lives and into the lives of the world. Ki ein sham shum achizat achitzoniim, because there these external forces, these forces of difficulty, of evil, of struggle, they have no purchase, they can't hang on. Because like wax melts before fire, the wicked will perish, will disappear before God. And again, something beautiful about that image. They're not destroyed, but there's a melting away, there's a softening even. A softening and a release, a melting away of that which is evil. And then finally, he returns to our opening verse. Right? He's returned already to some of the other verses and quotations he started with. And this is what it means that a person should not, the nefesh, like a person, the nefesh here means just a person, should not become impure, right? That before a person amongst his fellows, he shouldn't come near a dead body of one of the people of his fellows. But here it's red hyperlily, perush le nefesh, yetfilah, kinizkar lo yitameh. That is, nefesh, which is prayer, should not be made impure. That is, it turns to an external motivation, with a purely selfish motivation. That is, his thought should not just be on his corporeal lack, on his personal, really on his selfish, his egoistic lack. And he should be called impure, as mentioned above. That is, what is the opening verse of our parsha talking about? It's not just talking about Kohanim priests and whether they can come near dead bodies. What it's talking about is all of us. It's talking about when we practice, when we pray, when we meditate, when we do whatever practices we do, how do we make sure that practice stays pure, that it stays true? How do we know that practice stays connected, that it brings us to this joy which is transformational, which widens the heart, which brings us into the connection? And the thing to look out for, that the text tells us here, is our practice selfish? Is our practice just about us? Are we asking for things just about us? Are we practicing for some kind of spiritual high? Are we doing a meditation just to make ourselves feel better? Or are we also aware of the fact that our own suffering, our own difficulty is actually part of a much broader story? To not forget our own suffering or difficulty, but to place in a broader context, which is the context of the suffering and difficulty of the world. That so many creatures, so many human beings, so many beings, period, out there, are experiencing what we are experiencing. And that when we practice, we pray, we should do so with the intention to bring healing to them all. And then this, of course, is the meaning of it, what it means to do something, a mitzvah lishma. Over the course of our history, there are many interpretations of what it means to do a mitzvah lishma, what it means to do Torah lishma, where we do a pardes, to study lishma for its own sake. But what it really means for its own sake here, Rabbi Menachem Mendel tells us, is that it means for us to do it for the sake of compassion, for the sake of healing, for the sake of transformation, for the sake of allowing us to find out and discover who we truly are and bring the healing that we deeply need and the world deeply needs. But what I think is fascinating and important about this teaching is that often we think about compassion, if we think about knowing our own pain and responding to that pain in a way that also responds to the pain of others, it can get quite low, quite serious. But what the Vitebska tells us here, from the opening verses he brings, and from the claim in Brachot that to really be with the Shina, to really pray, one must do it from the Simcha of a Mitzvah, which is the Simcha, the joy of a Mitzvah, which here, because how they've understood Mitzvah, and doing a Mitzvah for its own sake, Lishma, is that what he's saying is, we must do it always, we must do this process of healing transformation from the joy of compassion, of healing, from the joy of knowing there's suffering in the world and being committed to transforming. That is, that we can come to this practice of healing, of activism, of presence in the world, of responding to our own pain, of responding to the pain of others, not only from sorrow, though of course there's a place for sorrow there, but from a place of joy, a place of the wide open heart, from a place of connection, from a place even of delight. That is the place of deep purity, of not getting lost in the impurity of just our selfish desire. So that is the call here for Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk of our Parshat Amor, of saying to the priests, which are really us, to not make ourselves impure, rather to approach our practice, to approach our life as an opportunity to love with joy, to find joy in love, to find joy in compassion and healing, and bring our wide open heart to all the transformation, all the healing, all the tikkun that this world really needs.
Thank you, Rabbi Jacobson Meisels. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.